14 KVOE presents The Talk of Emporia, bringing you local issues, topics, and events of the day.
And welcome to the Wednesday edition of The Talk of Emporia here on KVOE Live and Local. I am Ron Thomas, your host for today. And our program being brought to you by the First Christian Church, Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue, and Newman Regional Health. Well, the month of November is Diabetes Awareness Month, and we think diabetes and type 1 diabetes specifically. First thing that comes to mind here locally is Mr. Kent Schnackenberg and Team Schnack Strong, and we're going to dive into type 1 diabetes and hear firsthand from a parent who had a son that was recently diagnosed, and some of the things that they went through, and how they came to find out that the diagnosis was indeed type 1, and how close it came to being a very, very, very serious situation prior to getting the diagnosis and the help that they needed. Kent, first, good morning.
Good morning, Ron. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. It's a pleasure to have you being the speaker with us today. It makes us a little nervous that, you know, we're getting the top shelf here, but I just wanted to tell you, I've been listening to you talk about walking a lot one or two times a day, and I came in and hardly noticed you. You've lost a lot of weight, and you look fantastic. I think it's about time to get you on a bike full time.
Well, we've got, you know, Ron's Ride coming up. Are you in again for next year's Ron's Ride?
Well, I'm going to keep going as long as you keep going.
Raising money for Special Olympics. And, of course, coming up on Monday, don't forget, it's match day. And Team Schnack is part of the match day beneficiaries, so I'm sure you're excited about Monday.
Yeah, it's going to be a great day for us and all the other organizations, and I know everybody's been working really hard, and community, I'm sure, will continue to be very generous, and we just wish everybody the best.
Well, I mentioned that November is Diabetes Awareness Month. I do want to let you know that coming up on Friday on the Talk of Emporia, we will have a number of representatives from Newman Regional Health in to talk about diabetes and care and
good
and what to look for as well. So we're going to be welcoming them in on Friday. But we want to specifically touch on Team Schnack type 1 diabetes. A lot of people around here, Kent, do know your story, but let's give the broad stroke. Team Schnack, type 1 diabetes awareness, what is your mission?
Our mission is to spread awareness about type 1 diabetes, because there's about an average of 200 people a day around the United States that do come down with this disease, and a big percentage of them don't know. And there's far too many people, which you'll hear in Chase's story here too, that didn't know beforehand, and they end up having some very close calls, or a lot of times it's worse. And like I've said before, I've been in homes from in Emporia and around the country of families that have lost their kids to misdiagnosis or undiagnosis, and that's the one thing we definitely want to stop, and you know, continue to raise money for the kids in this area and raise money for JDRF for research. But it started in 2014. My niece was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, and it just kind of went to bike rides, and it went to the truck, and went to the travels and school assemblies, and it just keeps growing, and that's what we wanted to do.
Why did it was your niece? I know you've mentioned the story and have told the story before, but obviously this had to hit you deep, because this has really become obviously a passion.
Well, it's a disease that I didn't know anything about. We knew she lived with something called diabetes. We didn't know the difference between type 1 and type 2, and we knew she was sick, and it was hard for her to control it and stuff. But the more I got into it, and I think it was initially when I did those first couple bike rides, one was in Lake Tahoe and one was in Tucson, Arizona, and I tell the story that I was standing up in front of 400 people in a room after a ride when I got an award, and I looked out, and everybody in the room I knew either had type 1 diabetes, or their child did, or one of their relatives did, and they were there for that same reason, and just looked in their eyes, and it was just like a moment that this can be my passion, this can be my mission moving forward, and you know, an ability to help make the world a better place and help these families. And it's such an unknown disease, and somebody, you know, nobody talks about it. I've never seen a commercial on TV about it. So I guess Natalie and I just thought this could be a way we could affect people's lives, and it's just kind of growing from there. It's hard to explain, but it's something I think about every day, and every day I try to think of ways to do more and to meet more families and to help more families.
Well, you certainly have reached and touched a lot of people. You've traveled all over the United States and have done a wonderful job spreading the word. Your brand is certainly recognizable. Let's talk about how that came to be, because that's instrumental in kind of what you do.
Well, Mark and I, right before our 60th birthday, my twin brother Mark, we were going to do the Dirty Kansas, just kind of like a bucket list thing. We're getting ready to turn 60. I'm sure we were having a few beers one night, and we thought, let's just do that. And so if you notice around town, there's a lot of cycling clubs. There's a lot of organizations that ride, and our nickname's just always been Snack. So to make it simple, it just became Team Snack, and we got bright yellow jerseys, and then it, you know, we did the ride, and then we did all three brothers, Mike, who is Michelle's dad. They live in Houston. We went down and did a ride together in Lake Tahoe. And then on the way home from Tucson, after I'd decided, and I hadn't even told Natalie this, but I was going to do every ride the next year for JDRF, which there's seven of them. And I just decided I was going to get a truck, and I was going to drive to every one of them and travel to all the states of the United States and spread awareness. And if I was going to go in, I was going to go all in. I was at a time in my life where we had sold Navrats, but I was still had the ability to work part-time. And Richard and Monica, the owners of Navrats, you know, gave me that chance to go do that. And I don't know that they realized I was going to be gone 250 days over a couple of years. But I'll be honest with you, my customers in Emporia and throughout Northeast Kansas know what I'm doing. You know, I've met a lot of them, and their families and their kids are type one, and they continue to support me. They not only through Navrats, but also through the Team Snack Fund. It's, we raise a lot of our money up in Northeast Kansas and around the Emporia area for people we've met. And so it just seems like it's all worked out very well in that way.
Well, you have raised a lot of money, but I think more so, as you mentioned right at the top, your mission is to raise awareness first and foremost for this, because that's very important to know the symptoms and make people aware of that. You've also put a lot of miles on your Team Snack truck. Where are you at now?
This week we turned 330,000, and we do leave on Monday, the day of match day, for Tucson, Arizona. Natalie and I are going to go out there, and they have one national bike ride on the 20th, the Saturday before Thanksgiving, and we'll participate in it, and then head back to Denver for Thanksgiving at our daughter's house, and we'll just hope that it gets home again. So I honestly think it's going to make it to 500,000 miles.
You have one in the waiting, do you not? A truck in the waiting?
Well, I did, but I traded it in on another truck in the waiting, and now I'm waiting on the new truck because it takes so long. So I had the other one for 2 years, and I never really drove it, and so with COVID and stuff, so now we traded it in on another one. And, you know, John North Ford's been great to work with us out there, and the Ford F-150, the T-1 Destroyer, just keeps on going.
It sure does. Just beat out the trucks in waiting, even. Yeah. So hanging in there.
It's pretty cool.
And getting that done. We'll talk about, the funds you have raised and, the trips you have made, the people you have met. And I know one thing that, I look at your posts on Facebook, on social media, and it's obvious one thing you do enjoy doing is talking with kids, like in the school setting and college setting. You make a lot of trips, address a lot of folks in classes. That's something obviously you enjoy. Am I correct?
Yeah, I do it every day. I mean, I would do it every day if I could. And Kenna Reeves, a professor at the college, has been kind enough to invite me to her communications class, I think the last 4 years. And it's then last week I was at two eighth grade classes up in the northern part of the state where I work with the eighth graders up there every year to help me put on walks and stuff. And the worst part, but yet it's a pretty satisfying part of this, is walking into people's homes that have newly diagnosed kids that survived and are at home, and I can just walk in there and just try to tell them what we can do to help them, whether it's financially or just emotionally, and just ask them to ask me any questions they have. I'm not a doctor or nurse, but I've learned enough about this disease that after it affects their people, and I think you'll hear that story from Matt, that I've seen when I walk in the house, and it's always the same. There, you just see parents and kids looking at you like, what are we in, and what's going to happen in the future? And I love the ability to say everything's going to be okay. It's just going to be a little harder, and the kids are going to be able to do anything they want to do, and it's just going to be harder.
So when you address young kids in a school setting, is it all ages, first, second, third grades? Doesn't matter?
It doesn't matter. I've been in preschools. The biggest assembly I ever did was in Paintsville, Kentucky. It was 1,100 kids in a high school. And if it's one person or if it's 10,000 people, I'll get in front of them and talk. It's not a big deal to me. I just want the ability to try to spread our mission.
So when you're talking, specifically the young kids, how do you start addressing them? What is your, topic theme? Obviously we know what the theme is with the type 1 diabetes, but what do you try to get to the kids to make them aware?
Well, we have a video that we show them to start with. So, you know, when we go into a school, whether it's like one class or an entire school, we give everybody ahead of time a bright yellow team snack shirt, and the symptoms are printed on the back. You know, a lot of people know I've got a 6-foot-tall teddy bear. He's a mascot. His name's Buddy. He's in front of him. So basically, they love him, and they see my truck. So there, I got a lot of things going for me that, in at least in my mind, when the kids are looking at me, and I've never had a bad experience in a school, it doesn't matter their age, whether they're in preschool or they're in college. You know, after they listen to me talk, I think they know I'm serious. And they can, you know, hopefully they can feel the passion in my voice. And when they see it, when they're wearing a T-shirt that says Team Snack Strong, it kind of gives them the feeling that they're part of something. I mean, there must be a reason. This guy gave me a T-shirt and he came to talk to us, so let's listen to him. And the thing about the college kids, which a lot of people probably be scared to walk in there because you don't know if they're going to think you're just a crazy old man that's giving them all T-shirts, whatever. But especially the last few years I've been going up here to Emporia State, I mean, you can just look at these kids' eyes and you can tell if they're listening. You can, you know, I've learned as I get in front and walk back in front of people, people are following you. And they, you know, when you walk out of a visit to a college class and they start clapping and then they follow you out to take a picture by your truck and they invite you back, you know you've made an impression. And it's those kids, as they go through life and get married and have their own kids, it's going to happen to some of them. And if I can give them that, you know, that ahead of time, notice that this is something to look for, then we've, this is what we try to accomplish. And also, when we speak to a large group of students, I try to tell them that sometime in their life, there's going to be a moment when, you know, they're going to have the ability to look at something and think, I can do this, something to change this. This is part of it. And so never miss your opportunity to help other people and make the world a better place.
You mentioned handing out T-shirts. We see them all over the place. So do you have any idea? I mean, I talked about your brand earlier, and we see Team Snack gear all over the place. So how many T-shirts do you think you've given away?
Well, last year, we didn't do near as many because of COVID, obviously. But the company that I get my T-shirts from had called me, and we've done over 25,000 of them that we've handed out through them. And, you know, we have several more school assemblies set, you know, set up for the after the first of the year. So we'll just keep giving them out as long as we can and as long as people invite us in to speak to them.
Well, we want to talk about, you know, the funds that you raise and where the money goes. We'll get to that in our final segment, but we want to introduce Matt Johnson from Emporia to the program and talk about his experience with his son Chase. We're going to take our first break. We'll come back and do that. This portion of the program is being brought to you by the First Christian Church. They're the Christian Church, the Disciples of Christ, a movement for wholeness in a fragmented world, and by Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue, still offering convenient carry-out and curbside services. Bobby D's at 607 Merchant, where it's all about the meat.
It's fall again, a time when God reminds us how beautiful transformation truly is. First Christian Church invites you to worship with us in person, 202 East 12th. Masks are required. Or on Facebook, First Christian Church Disciples of Christ of Emporia at 10:40 on Sundays as we invite God to transform our lives and our community. Also, visit our website at fccemporia.org.
Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue has expanded the seating inside their restaurant so more of their customers can enjoy the dine-in experience. Masks are optional, but the staff at Bobby D's requests everyone be respectful of others. The greatest concern at Bobby D's is that their customers are comfortable coming into the dining area. They want you to truly have a great dine-in experience. Carry-out and curbside options are still available. And check out their new specials on Facebook. Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue, 607 Merchant, where it's all about the meat.
Please consider donating to this year's United Way of the Flint Hills campaign. Your help supports 23 community partners serving thousands of people. Live local, give local. KVOE 96.9 FM and 1400 AM. You're listening to the Talk of Emporia. Your questions are welcome. Call 342-5863. That's 342-KVOE.
And welcome back to the Wednesday edition of the Talk of Emporia. Ron Thomas hosting. This is Diabetes Awareness Month, and we're focusing specifically on type 1 diabetes. Joined by Ken Schnackenberg of Team Snack Strong, and a very special guest in with us here this morning to really put a personal touch on type 1 diabetes awareness and what the experience is like to have a child go through You know, it's a very dangerous situation and can be very life-threatening at times. And we'd like to say good morning to Matt Johnson. Matt, good morning.
Morning. Thank you for having me.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
Well, let's learn a little bit about Matt. Tell us about your family. You from Emporia here?
Yes, born and raised.
Okay. And obviously, tell us about your family.
Married, my wife Lisa. We have three kids. The youngest one was recently going through some health issues last year during COVID and couldn't really figure out what was going on.
All right. Well, let's talk about that because, you know, in, you know, chatting with Kent over all these years, knowing the symptoms of a type 1 diabetes is at the top of their mission. So you got a son, Chase. How old is Chase?
He's 12.
12 years old. So when was he diagnosed?
He was diagnosed in February of this year.
February of this year. So how did this all start? How did the diagnosis finally come to be? What was happening to Chase to make you think something was not right first?
It started the fall of last year during football practice. He was really struggling with energy level. He was falling asleep on the way to practice, on the way home from practice. He was struggling eating, and he would eat in certain things, and he would just take naps throughout the day. I would eat lunch with him because I work from home, and since COVID, they were still at home. So I would eat lunch with him at home, and he would just kind of lay down, take a nap. I would go back to work. 3 hours later, I come out, and he's still on the couch in the same spot I left him before, so I have to call him into school. And it just seemed to get worse. Took him to doctor, and it was kind of like flu-like symptoms, but he didn't test positive for COVID. And that went on through December, January. We finally thought he had mono and took him to a different doctor here in town. She tested his blood sugar level and called me, said, whatever you're doing, stop, pack clothes. You need to pick either Wichita or Kansas City and take him now.
Now, you mentioned you noticed, the Chase was getting tired and schooling was from home last year during COVID, correct? So,
you know,
you were at home. He was doing school at home.
Yes.
And so that's why. Really odd, though, to have a youngster like that age with low energy, right? I mean, how concerned were you at that point?
We were pretty concerned, and that's why, you know, maybe we thought it was the flu or even mono, because any sport that he can typically do, he does. He's always off riding his bike, running around with the neighborhood kids, and to have him on the couch for, you know, hours at a time was just not something that he did.
So when they tested the blood sugar, you get that call and say, drop what you're doing. You need to leave and get this taken care of. Did she tell you this is what you were looking at? Did you know at that point?
I had no idea. She had to explain it to me what it was. And I'm familiar with type 2, but type 1, I didn't know there was a difference between type 1 and type 2. And so she explained to me how high his blood sugar was. It was almost 600, and that his A1C was 13.7, which is astronomical. And then she told me the normal blood sugars should be, you know, 80 to 130. And he's almost 600. I didn't know. I just froze. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. And so we took him to Children's Mercy in Kansas City. Thankfully, we got him there. We got him there that night because he was extremely close to going into diabetic ketoacidosis, which is like a diabetic coma, from my understanding.
That was close then.
It was extremely close.
How frightening is that?
We were terrified. I had no words while they were working on him. They started IV, started getting him everything that they're supposed to do. My wife is with me. She's in tears. I have no idea what to do just to stay out of the way. That situation, I was speechless, was just clueless on what was going on.
Ken, we could bring you in here in just a second. I know that you do a great job in getting a hold of parents and families that have to deal with this, and you usually get a hold of these people pretty quick. I want to ask you down the road, how do you know about this so fast when this happens? But do you see a lot of misdiagnosis with this, Kent? You know, and we're not pointing a finger of blame at anybody here, but is it easy for type 1 to be misdiagnosed or not found?
I would say that's the normal. And it's because, and I would never blame anybody in the medical community. I just wish that down the road or as soon as possible that there would be just a simple blood test for any child that goes into the, just for, you know, a well visit or sports physicals, that type of thing, because that's what you do. That's how you find out. And a lot of times, and I don't think he'd, I know he wouldn't care if I talk about this, but Jeff Longbine, state senator here in Emporia, his daughter Lexi was diagnosed, oh my gosh, it'd probably be 3 years ago now, two or three years ago, and, you know, in our hometown, and she ended up being life-flighted, and she was the same way. She was almost in DKA when she got up to the hospital, and I remember walking in the hospital room the next or 2 days later in Kansas City, and Jeff was sitting there, and you know, it was like, what are you doing here? And I said, this is what I do. And, you know, he had the same look in his eyes that Matt did, that it's just over. It's so overwhelming. It's so overwhelming when I can't even imagine, you know, seeing, excuse me, like one of my grandkids, you know, in Children's Mercy, and all these people are around him putting, sticking him with this and putting tubes in him, and what you might think at that point. And by us hopefully continuing to do what we do and get, you know, people like the Longbines and like Matt and his wife are now, they spread awareness. They tell their story, and that's why it's so powerful to have him on here today, that so people know how real this is and that it needs to be caught as soon as possible. And if you have any question, like if your kids have lost weight, which he lost, what, 14 pounds?
14 pounds.
Right. And, you know, he just had been lethargic and he lost all this weight. And I'm sure if you look back on it, he was drinking a lot of water and going to the bathroom all the time.
Yep.
He had the classic symptoms. He's changed his appetite. And so those are the kind of things people need to look for in their kids or their grandkids or their neighbor kids or whatever. And if you think that's it, just don't be afraid to say, that could be type 1 diabetes. You need to go now and get a blood test. You can't wait tomorrow or the next day. Sometimes wait until tomorrow is too late. And so that's why when I meet Matt and his wife and I meet all these other families, they're all heroes to me, especially the kids, because now their new lifestyle is they have to do things every day, basically, to keep their kid alive. And the kids and the young adults and the adults that live with the disease, they can do anything they want. And he's going to do great, and he's doing sports again, and he loves to ride his bike, and he's doing all the things he wants to do. It's just they have to do so many things every day to do things to make sure their insulin levels are as close as possible to being correct. And Matt can kind of go into what a couple of the devices that they have now that the money you raise for technology really, really makes a difference.
Well, and, you bring up such good points about the symptoms, and, you know, this can be obviously grave. I mean, Matt, you were totally unaware of how serious the situation would get to be with this. I mean, one minute you're thinking maybe mono or the flu or something like that, and it was about as serious as it could get, wasn't it?
It absolutely was. And then after meeting Kent, getting out of the hospital with him, he came over to the house, and when he laid out the symptoms for us, all those boxes were checked, and we just couldn't believe that we missed it.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't know, I mean, that's what it is.
This wasn't even in the realm of something that we would have thought that he would have. It was just totally out of left field.
And talking with Matt Johnson, here, son Chase, type 1 diabetes. The symptoms were serious, and so you get him to the hospital. He's in Children's Mercy. You know things are serious. How long did it take for things to, and I say, get calmed down, but for him to basically say it's going to be okay, and here's what we're dealing with?
We were there for 24 hours. They got him. They got his blood sugar under control. They got his A1C down from what it was. So thankfully, it came down just in 24 hours, which was a good sign. After that, it was education about insulin, food, available technology and equipment like glucose monitors, insulin pumps, and it's like drinking from a fire hose, basically, with information. And after we got out of the hospital, like I said, thankfully we met with Kent, and he clarified some of that for us. We even talked to the Belfords here in town who had a daughter that went through it.
Karen here in town? Yep. Yes.
Okay. Met with them. I even spoke with Gwen Longbine.
Yeah.
And she kind of explained, everybody just helped clarify a little bit more and a little more understanding of, you know, you're going to make it through this. It's okay. You just have to take steps just slowly at a time and just figure out a little bit at a time.
So what does Chase deal with now, like a regular day? What do you have to look at? What do you have to monitor? How does this all play out? And how is Chase handling this right now?
Right now, he has a continuous glucose monitor that he either wears on one of his arms or his abdomen. And that pairs with his cell phone, and it reads his blood sugar every 5 minutes. He also now has an insulin pump as well that will pump insulin into him continuously throughout the day. And before he eats, he can really eat whatever he wants to a certain extent. And he just has to figure out how many carbs are in certain foods and then dose the amount of insulin for that to help offset that so he doesn't spike again, clear up to, you know, 400, 500. And so he does that multiple times. For example, last night we ate dinner. Everything was fine. He had a little bit of dessert, spiked him, and we got it leveled off, and then he crashed about 11:30 last night, so we were up until 1 trying to get it to a point where it was level again and he could go back to sleep.
So what do you do to get that level back? I mean, what's the procedure for you?
For us, if he crashes, we give him some type of juice, whether it's apple juice or grape juice are typically his go-tos, and then we give him some protein along with that to help level it out so he doesn't just spike and crash again. And his preference is beef jerky or Slim Jims. So he'll drink a little bit of apple juice and have, you know, so many ounces of beef jerky or so many Slim Jim sticks that have that protein in it to help kind of keep him level so he doesn't have that roller coaster of blood sugar going up and down.
So how often do you see the spiking and the crashing? Is it due to maybe what he's eating, or what causes that?
Some of it is going to be caused by what he eats. Because we've tracked, and I'm in sales, so I track all kinds of things. And so I thought this was going to be easy when it first started. I was like, all we got to do is just track it. This is how he'll react to it. And you can just throw that out the window. We learned that breads, pastas, grains for him typically will cause a spike above 300, even if he does dose some amount of insulin. And once he doses, in about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours later, it's going to cause him to crash. So he's kind of cut back on some of that, and we just try to do what we can to offset it. And
so there's really not a playbook. I mean, each individual is a little bit different, I think, specifically.
I think every day is different. And the one thing that I'm sure when you ask him how often do you have to do this, it's every day.
Yeah.
And when you see Matt and his wife around town, they're two of the nicest people you'd ever meet. But there's a lot of nights they don't get any sleep. In fact, most of the nights they don't each get a full night's sleep. And a lot of things, these things with these families, that's why it takes a strong family around to give the kid even just a chance to make it through this and still have a normal life. And it's a crazy disease. You can do the same thing every day and everything looks great. You think you got it knocked out and then boom, all of a sudden something yep. goes wrong. And it's a disease that's got a mind of its own, I guess. And they do a wonderful job. I'm really, really proud of them.
So what's the learning curve been like? I mean, for number one, Chase, I mean, how is he dealing with this?
He's dealing with it as best he can. He has days that are a lot better than days where he just doesn't want to deal with it, thankfully. But he realizes that this is his life going forward now, and it's something that he's going to have to be responsible for and deal with. So most days he does great, does what he's supposed to do. And by doing that, it allows him to go play football, soccer, basketball, disc golf, get on his bike and go ride with friends. Other days where he, you know, may not have it in him and he'll spend 30 or 45 minutes on the couch just not moving because he's either spiked or crashed, or you know, today he's just not feeling like dealing with the disease.
So you mentioned he's got a monitor that's hooked into his phone. I'm sure you and your wife are monitoring too at all times, correct?
Yes, yeah, we do. There's an app, thankfully, you gotta love technology,
yeah,
that will track it. It updates every 5 minutes. I get an alert, my wife gets an alert, and if he goes over a certain amount or below a certain amount, we get notifications. And out at the middle school, we share that app with the nurses out there.
Okay.
So they are in on it as well. They can monitor it, and they have been great. They've been instrumental with him going back to school and doing as normal things as he possibly can.
That's going to be comforting to some extent to know the nurses are in on this and can monitor as well, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And knowing that there are more diabetics out there. So he, when he got diagnosed and went back to school, he didn't know that there was anybody else out there like him, basically. Once we met with the nurse, found out there was, I think, four or five more out at the middle school.
Really?
And so the nurses had been down this road multiple times and knew what to do. Now, you know, we have the technology to share with them, and it's been phenomenal.
So how are the siblings handling this?
My other two kids, they're quite a bit older.
Okay.
So they are 27 and okay. 26. So they know what's going on, and he's been over to their house. He's stayed with them.
Okay.
They're in the loop. They know what to do. Grandparents know what to do, and they're in the loop. And there's days where, you know, they, like Kent mentioned, it's something different every day. So not every day is going to be simple or easy. And so we got a lot of questions from grandparents as well as siblings as well.
Well, sounds like you're handling it as well as you possibly can. I can't mention that the support you receive from individuals that had their kids go through this, and it sounds like you know, you're real willing and eager too to spread what you know to help others out.
Absolutely. Kent's been a huge part of this as well as some other folks. The Team Schnack Fund has been great helping us out, as well as the Jones Foundation with grants available through them, because I'm sure you can imagine this is not a disease that is cheap.
You know, these monitors and pumps are not inexpensive, are they?
No, they're not. They will definitely set you back. They are absolutely wonderful to have, and have allowed Chase just in the last few months to go back to leading a more normal life than he had prior to having these. But it's something that we have to do. So we have to his pump site. We have to change every 3 days. We have supplies that we have to order every 25 days. We have every 60 to 90 days, we have to pick up insulin. We have to order his glucose monitor every few months. I mean, there's always something to do, wow. And it all adds up.
So there's been no issues with getting those supplies in then? We've heard horror stories about people not being able to get things, mailed in, so no problems there?
As long as we can pick them up in a timely manner.
Okay.
There's been, especially with the insulin, if once I get a notification, I try to go as quickly as possible, unless I'm in meetings, that so I can get it. Otherwise, the longest something has been delayed has been 3 days.
Okay.
So again, still fortunate with that part of it.
Just trying to stay ahead of the game, huh?
Absolutely.
All right, Matt. Good job. Good to have you here today, Matt Johnson and Ken Schnackenberg of Team Schnack Strong, Diabetes Awareness Month, and we're touching on type 1 diabetes here this morning. Let's take our final break and be back to wrap things up. This portion of the Talk of Emporia brought to you by Newman Regional Health, offering more medical specialties and convenience than ever. Newman Regional Health.
This is Insurance Commissioner Vicki Schmidt. During open enrollment, I want to remind you that no matter what type of health insurance you are buying, please remember to check your provider network before picking a plan. By making sure your provider is in-network, you protect yourself from surprises down the road. Provider networks can be complex, so check with your agent or HR professional if you have questions on how to find plan networks before picking a plan.
KVOE is proud to bring you live coverage of the Emporia Veterans Day Memorial Service from the All Veterans Memorial Park. Join us beginning at 11 a.m. on KVOE, 1400 a.m. and 96.9 FM, with video streaming on KVOE TV at KVOE.com. You're listening to the Talk of Emporia. Your questions are welcome. Call 342-5863. That's 342-KVOE.
Welcome back to the Wednesday edition of the Talk of Emporia. Ron Thomas hosting, Kent Schnackenberg of Team Schnack Strong, and also Matt Johnson. Matt and his wife, son Chase, diagnosed earlier this year with type 1 diabetes. And tell you what, an incredible story to tell, and it's good to hear that Chase is doing fine. But there's never a time to not pay attention to what's going on with type 1 diabetes. That is for sure. That's something we have learned here this morning. So, Matt, we appreciate you taking the time to come in this morning and sharing with us your story.
Absolutely. I greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, Kent, awareness at the top of the list, but I'll tell you what, you do a great job of fundraising, too, and you've helped a lot of people, as Matt attested to here this morning. Where do the funds go that are raised by Team Schnack?
Well, over the years, and of course I want to include Natalie in this because she's sure. A huge part of it. I just drive the truck and I'm a tall guy, but without her, none of this happens. And during the fundraising, just up to match day, she's a big part of helping me get the letters out, keep me on pace, and keep me in the right direction because I tend to veer off a lot. And it's great to have her as an ally in this fight. And over the years, we've raised several hundred thousand dollars, which has went to JDRF, to the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, which is research for the devices that Chase wears and all the other kids wear. And one thing I wanted to get into real quickly is when our match day video, which came out, and they did a great job. I was joined by Mike Laporto and Kaylin, his daughter.
Yeah.
And she was diagnosed a few years ago at 16 months old and went through a horrible day, and they almost lost her. I try to tell people all the time, when you see her and when you see Chase, and that's what type 1 diabetes looks like, which means they look like normal, happy kids. But what you don't see is that they're wearing these devices on their body to keep them alive every day. And those devices had to be moved around their bodies every day or every week or every 2 weeks or whatever it is. and just imagine what that's like going through life wearing that kind of stuff. And that's why when Chase is at his age, I've seen it everywhere. It's easy to give up. I mean, kids go through teen years. It's tough enough raising them, but when you're raising with the disease that's attacking their body every day.
It has to be frustrating.
Well, yeah. It's frustrating to them, and that's what makes them, you know, heroes to me. And then, you know, we started the Team Snack Strong Fund through the Emporia Community Foundation, which has been great. It's been wonderful. We've raised a lot of money to that, and Match Day is the big part of that. And now they can come. Every family in the seven county area can get $1,000 a year from us, and we're going to raise that after Match Day this year because we've been blessed by so many people helping us to $1,500. And that can be used for expenses. It can be used for gas money to go to the hospital. They have to go back to Children's Mercy every 3 months. Now, during COVID, you're doing some stuff online, but otherwise the rest of her life, rest of his life, the rest of Kaylin's life, they have to go every 3 months to get, you know, work done and get evaluated again. And it's very, very expensive. And that's kind of why we focused a lot the last couple of years, because we haven't even been able to travel and do any rides that on the Team Snack Strong Fund and helping the people in our area.
So $1,500 available to those who need it then. That's it?
It's available to any family that lives with type 1 diabetes in the seven counties under the Emporia Community Foundation. And they are so great to work with. And just think of all the organizations at Match Day that are doing things for them. And we can't thank them enough for helping us.
Let me ask you this. How is it that you managed to show up at a hospital room or somebody's house not long after the diagnosis has been found, the kids and the family just recently found out? It's like Superman. How do you pull this off?
Well, it's not Superman, but it's. I think I do enough social media that when Chase was diagnosed, it wasn't them that contacted me. It was family members or friends. You know, when the Longbines went through that, they contacted me, and it's people contacting me. It's every week. I get notices from people in Kansas, around the country, wherever, and I do anything I can. So many times during the week, because there's so many kids still being diagnosed, I sit down in my office at work, and I wrap up a T-shirt, and I write a personal note, and you know, I send it anywhere. And just, you know, I just sent one to Kentucky the other day, and I'm getting ready to send one out today of a family member that got a hold of me. And it just, a little note says, I know it's hard to live with type 1 diabetes, but I just want you to know that we're out there fighting for you every day. And I think that when they open those packages and read this, sure, we get nice responses from people that at least they know somebody cares, because a lot of times people don't think they care because nobody knows about the dang disease.
Well, you just get there so quickly. I mean, you just,
you're
swift.
I got a good truck.
You're so swift. I'll tell you that. Well, you're doing wonderful work. It's inspiring. So as far as the Diabetes Association, are they working on trying to find a cure for this? What is their research showing?
Yeah, I think they're like the Cancer Society, the Heart Association. Everybody wants a cure. But the truth is that the cure is a long ways down the road, and families know this. But the technology is getting better every day, and it makes it easier to monitor. It's not foolproof. Technology breaks. They have to order parts. They have to order new sensors. Everybody's working for a cure, but until then, I think a lot of the money is being spent on making it a better lifestyle for people that live with type 1 diabetes.
Well, Matt, again, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. I appreciate the opportunity to just share Chase's story and recognize Team Snack. So thank you so much.
Kent,
thanks
for all you do.
Yeah, just next time I see you, you'll probably be down another 15 pounds. And you're going to have to keep buying clothes smaller. And no, you just – KVOE's done everything for us and so many people in town, and it's impossible to say thank you enough. And just to everybody out there, look for the signs around town. Look for the symptoms, type 1 diabetes. If you have questions, just contact me. I'm easy to find.
Thanks for all you do.
Ken Snackenberg. Thank you.
Talk of Emporia today brought to you by Newman Regional Health. Quality health care close to home. Newman Regional Health. And by Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue, still offering convenient carryout and curbside services. Bobby D's, 607 Merchant, where it's all about the meat. And by the First Christian Church, they are the Christian Church. The Disciples of Christ, a movement for wholeness in a fragmented world. Friday morning on the Talk of Emporia, we will have representatives of Newman Regional Health here to talk more diabetes, as this is Diabetes Awareness Month. KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. We're live and local.
Bringing you issues and topics of the day, the Talk of Emporia.